It is going to teach me over and over and over again not to assume. It struck at least twice this afternoon with songs that I thought I knew the words to. And hey, you gotta check the text, right? You gotta go back to the source. You can't just assume that you know. There's a principle there. The problem is when the source is wrong. You know, so that's why we go to prove that the Bible is the Word of God, to prove its ultimate authority. And I can bring textual documentation that the Sacred Selections has it all messed up. We are in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to be working off of some principles that we laid out last week. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Let's pray. Great and glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be gathered together with your people on the Lord's Day. Father, I'm thankful for the instruction that your word gives to us. Father, that you are the ultimate coach. You are the ultimate developer, Lord God. And I'm just thankful that you give us the instruction that we need so that we can have pure hearts, clean consciences, and a sincere faith. Father, I pray that we would work together as your body to get your work done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love that flows from a pure heart can only come from a pure heart. It's reasonable to expect that, but it's important to point that out, because what love is by the world's standards has been perverted. The world, okay, claims that love is based upon a feeling, that it's based upon the reaction that I have. Pure love requires a pure heart. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. Well, James chapter 3, verse 18, makes it really clear. Let's go ahead and go over there. James chapter 3. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure. It goes on to say that it's peaceable and gentle and reasonable and full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In Wasion this morning, I was preaching through how the wisdom from above is full of mercy, actually working through James back in Wasion. But I want us to notice and to point out, okay, that the wisdom from above is first pure. First pure. The very first thing listed is the wisdom from above is pure. It's not perverted. It's not distorted. Okay. It's not mixed up with false teaching. It's pure. It's not self-serving. Pure love is not self-serving. We familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, right? Pure love. So, what we love first, that pure love is going to be a person's eternal soul. If you love somebody, you love their eternity. There's a lot of different ways that people want to express in the world love. But ultimately, from the scriptures, you love a person, you love their eternity. Because everything else is pretty arbitrary. You know, sometimes when I'm being a good and thoughtful husband, I'll buy Brenna flowers, right? And I get extra bounty points when I buy Brenna flowers, and it's not, you know, any of these holidays or our anniversary or anything like that. I'll buy Brenna flowers, right? Buy her flowers to as a token of the way that I care for her, of my love for her. You know what happens to those flowers? Every single time. The flowers die. She's been really good about, she keeps the dried out ones, and she does all sorts of, sweet things. But they die. No matter what, they die. Okay? Now, pure love, a love of somebody's eternity, has to do with wanting to make sure that their soul spends eternity with Christ. That they get their new body, okay? And that new spiritual body gets to spend eternity with Christ and with the rest of the saints forever in glory. And that's what a pure love is. See, there's a lot of programs out there that seem like love. There's a lot of imitations out there. There's a lot of really good humanitarian work out there. But ultimately, love has to do with a person's eternity. The wisdom that comes from above is first pure. See, it's really important for us as individual Christians to acknowledge that if we are going to love the way that Christ loved, there cannot be any self-serving motives that go along with that. Let me give you an example. Evangelism is not about church growth. Okay? Evangelism is not about church growth. Church growth is a byproduct of evangelism. Okay, this is actually really important because when we see evangelism as a way to grow the church, that is about us wanting to add to our numbers. Even if we put it in different language, right? Oh, doesn't Jesus want his church to grow? Yeah, absolutely. Jesus wants his church to grow. But when evangelism becomes about church growth, either stated explicitly or implicitly, when evangelism is about church growth, we have lost our focus. Okay? Because people will see right through that. Okay? True evangelism needs to be about love for souls. That's what it has got to be about. You care so much about that person's eternity that you are going to find a way to find something that is going to connect with that individual in such a way so that you can communicate to them the message of Jesus' reconciliation. See, that is way different than we want to see another nice family here on Lord's Day mornings. It was way different, okay? Because heaven and hell are real, okay? And we care about people. We care about their eternity. We are going to love their forever. It's really important for us to recognize that distinction. It's really important. Love that comes from a pure heart isn't self-serving. It's not about my Bible studies are not about getting another Bible study to have another Bible study because I feel good about having Bible studies. I went from 2 to 3. All right. We just see right through that. Right through that. Oh, well, and the other part of it, oh, gotta have another Bible. They sounded like they might be interested. I better ask. See right through that. Right? And so, love that comes from a pure heart is going to be first pure. Well, the only people that have pure hearts, okay, are those that have had their hearts purified. Well, that's pretty logical, pretty sensible, but once again, it's an important principle. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22.
Gave myself a bit of a heart attack. I started reading 2:22, and I was like, that is not at all what I wanted. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. From the heart. And pure love is only going to come from those who, in obedience to the truth, have had their souls purified. So you're not going to look to the world. You're not going to look to any denominational organization. You're not going to look to a political organization. None of those things are going to have people with pure hearts in them, because they haven't been pure from the obedience to the truth. But as those of us who do have pure hearts from an obedience to the truth, that also presents some challenges for us to be able to respond to. Because they communicate on a different level than what we communicate on. Okay? You know, have you ever been told that your beliefs are just narrow-minded, dogmatic, right? Well, me too. And it's important that I never compromise what the Word of God says. But when I look at somebody, it's really important that I see their eternal soul and communicate to them Jesus' love. When I see their eternal soul and communicate to them Jesus' love, it's pretty important that I speak their language. Because if they're not going to understand what I'm saying, how effective is it going to be for me to continue to say it? Right? You know, I can say the same thing over and over and over, okay? But if Brenna doesn't have the context for what I'm saying, I'm just as lost as the first 15 times you said it, honey. Okay, yeah, thanks. Okay. But, okay, when I'm going to communicate to her, okay, in a way that she is going to understand, okay, then we're able to make some progress. Well, in the same way, okay, we need to communicate to the world in a way that they are going to understand. We can preach, you know, hellfire and brimstone and claim that that's love. Is hell real? Yep. Heaven real? Yep. Okay. Is it loving to let people know that there is an eternal decision to make? Yep. Okay. Is preaching hellfire and brimstone typically very effective when you're first meeting somebody? Why? Well, the reason why is because they're not speaking that language, right? That's not communicating love to them. That's not their understanding of what love is. And what good is our love if our love is not effectively communicated? Okay. As Romans 12:2 people, it's important that we renew our minds and examine, how would Jesus love in my shoes? Right? How would Jesus communicate that love to others through me? How would he communicate that pure love from a sincere heart? You know, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. As Christians, we have new hearts. Are able to love purely from those pure hearts. Jeremiah 17 speaks to the condition of those who are outside. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? The heart is desperately sick. See, we're interfacing, we are interacting with a world that has desperately sick hearts. We've got pure hearts, and we understand that they have desperately sick hearts. So we have to find a way to be able to reach through all of the barriers that are set up there that go along with having a desperately sick heart to communicate Jesus loves you. People will fight that on a number of different levels. Okay? It's hard for people to accept. A lot of times people have never even been loved. So to come up with the concept that Jesus loves you, yeah, reach through, right? Even when your hand's getting hit the entire time as you're trying to reach into their heart and communicate Jesus' love to them with a pure heart. Because they have hearts that are desperately sick. Romans 3:12 gives us another picture of this. Romans chapter 3, verse 12. Really, verses 10 through 18 is all a good description, but I'm just going to bring 12 out in particular. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Okay? So there's none that does good, not even one. The world is full of hearts that are desperately sick. Why are we surprised when the world is corrupt as it is? Should that really surprise us? Should that really frustrate us? I wouldn't expect anything else. You know, and then there's those pesky habits, right, that, you know, yeah, some baggage left over from the world. And even some of us with pure hearts sometimes act in a way that isn't in accordance with what Jesus would want. We would expect that, right? The world is corrupt. I was reading an article this weekend about the hurricane, and the prosecutor of Nueces County was saying that they were going to prosecute any looters to the fullest extent of the law. So basically there was a concern with Hurricane, it was Harvey, right? There's concern with Hurricane Harvey is that there were going to be looters everywhere because people were having to flee and abandon where they were at, and that there was going to be crime. And the prosecutor was basically saying, hey, we're not offering any plea deals. You want to go down that road, you are going to have the fullest extent of the law applied to you. It got me to thinking, you know, that corruption of man is prevalent. You know, man has an evil, sick, black heart. And so because he has an evil, sick, black heart, it is no wonder, okay, that when man sees an opportunity, we saw this with Katrina, right? Man saw an opportunity to be able to take, to steal, to loot, and not see the consequences of it. And it's amazing how everyday Joe becomes that looter. Right? That guy that you're friendly with at work. Right? The girl, your friend at work who always is actually, you know, asks about your kids, is kind. All of a sudden they become the looter at the Best Buy. It's because it's always in the heart. Outside of Christ, you can put whatever veneer on it you want to put. That heart is desperately sick. It's desperately sick. And when given the opportunity at the right time, you know what? It's going to take it. It's going to take it. So man is trying to escape the evil conscience that is a personal plague that he carries with him. And man, with his evil conscience, can't get away from that plague. Can't do it. And he's looking for an evil conscience and a spiritual salve. He's looking for anything. What is it that can fulfill this hole that I have? See, we are the ones that can love from a pure heart. It's really important that we recognize that, because if you go back to our text, 1 Timothy 1:5, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. It's important that we examine the goals of our instruction, because we need to know what our goals are so that we can know how to deliver our instruction. If you don't know that the goal is love from a pure heart, clean conscience, and a sincere faith, how are you able to instruct in the way that will produce those things? You can't do it. It's not possible. Okay? So, it's important that we recognize the goals of our instruction. Recently, I got Brenna a puzzle. It was supposed to come for Christmas, but it came late. And so I got Brenna a puzzle, and she's really into doing puzzles. And what was it, 1,500 pieces? 2,000. Okay, it's a 2,000-piece puzzle. And to me, that sounds like a lot of frustration. And so I have no interest whatsoever in even looking at the 2,000-piece puzzle. Of course, when she got it done, I said, oh, man, that's crazy. So, but no interest, right? No, thank you. That sounds like frustration. I have enough frustration in my life already without doing it for entertainment, okay? So she has this puzzle. Now, she had to get the puzzle out and put the puzzle together one piece at a time, right? And she knew from the box what she was looking at, and she had to take one piece at a time. And it was like, it was crazy, too. It was like some Disney, what was it? So stained glass. You know, how can you tell one thing from another with that anyway? It's a Disney stained glass thing, and she's putting it together, and she's making a ton of progress. I'm like, how in the world? It would take me months to get like three pieces put together. And so she's putting this thing together, right? Well, she had to look at the pieces, look at the picture, and figure out where each piece went. Well, if I would have got that box and had it sit there and not open the box, not got the pieces out, and not tried to put the pieces together, I just let it sit there. That puzzle going to go together? Well, wait. What if I put the puzzle on the puzzle box on the table for like a year? But I don't take the pieces out and try to put them together. Is the puzzle going to magically fit together? Well, what if I do that for 5 years? Or 10 years? Or 15 years? Or at any point in that process, is the puzzle going to fit together all on its own? Well, no. We all know that you actually have to do some work and you have to do some experimenting to be able to get the puzzle to come together. The puzzle doesn't come together by osmosis, okay? You know, without actually trying things out, without learning how the puzzle pieces go together, the puzzle pieces aren't ever going to go together on their own, no matter how much additional time that you give the puzzle pieces. In the same way, okay, our growth, okay, just because we have added more time, if we are not personally invested in learning to love more or to love better or to love from a pure heart, we're not just going to automatically love better, right? Well, I got immersed, okay, and now I love perfectly. Is that anybody else's experience? Well, no. Right? That's why we go back to Romans 12:2. It takes not only time, but intentional development. Okay? And when that hasn't been developed, if that hasn't been experimented with, if that hasn't been worked on, it doesn't just come out. We don't just learn to love perfectly because that's something that we want or that we know that we should do. Okay? But we do because of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us. We do have the capability to be able to love from a pure heart. We are purified, right? 1 Peter 1:22 that we referenced earlier, right? We have been purified from an obedience to the truth. So now we can love in that same way. It really is a great blessing to have a clean conscience. Only those of us who are in Christ have clean consciences. What's the value of a clean conscience? There was a big fight last night. Probably most of you know about it. big fight, and I think that they said that McGregor was going to take home somewhere in the area of $100 million. I think they said Mayweather was going to rake in somewhere. He was guaranteed $100 million, and he probably would rake in somewhere around $200 million for just that fight last night. Okay? Now, what monetary value do you think those guys would pay for a clean conscience? They got some means, right? Yeah, $100 million and a $200 million payday. Will that purchase it? That get her done? Is that worth the blood of Christ? $100 million? I mean, the currency's not even backed up as it is. Sorry, I had to. it's nothing, right? It's nothing. Won't buy anybody a clean conscience. Okay. But we're in Christ, and being in Christ, we have a completely and totally clean conscience. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, we had our bodies washed with pure water in the waters of immersion. And at that same time, okay, we had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. You have been saved and redeemed from an evil conscience, and that evil conscience doesn't need to come back. It's gone. You had a clean conscience from that point forward. No $100 million, $200 million payday can purchase it. But it has been given to you through the sacrifice of Jesus' blood. See, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith. We've been given these things. We've been given pure hearts. We've been given clean consciences. We've been given a sincere faith. But we have a part in continuing to produce that, working together with the Holy Spirit. We work together with Him to help maintain our pure heart, to help maintain our clean conscience, and to help maintain our sincere faith, and to grow in our, well, let's use scriptural terms, to grow in grace and understanding. Okay? So, the instruction is essential because we have to know where we're going. Otherwise, how do we know that the instruction is going to be appropriate? What exactly is that instruction supposed to look like? Well, if we know what we're looking to produce, we know then what the instruction is supposed to look like. And we can have ourselves, our kids, our disciples, our congregation, and our movement to have a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith. That's what we're looking for. Davey?